In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, and cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to look again at chapter 13 in St. Mark's Gospel. It's a very dramatic chapter, if you recall from last week, one that has been interpreted so many ways, but all of which look to the end of things as we know them. And that's very important. And it's very important for us, because we live in a time of great upheaval, when people can say, this is the end of the world. No, it's the end of a world. But it's not necessarily the end of the world, because there's so much more that seems should be happening. So much more of the world should be Christian. And there should be much more greater love among these people. So I'm going to go back over the text, picking out certain places. And this will be a complement to the text we looked at last time. First thing you want to note is that this text centers on the temple. One of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, such stones and such buildings," talking about the temple. The temple, the actual building, was done by Herod the Great, and it was a splendid architectural dream put into stone. It wasn't quite finished when the Romans destroyed it, but it was enough to be one of the wonders of the ancient world. And that is what the disciples are saying. Master, teacher, Jesus, look at that splendid building and complex of buildings. If you have, most Bibles have a picture in the back of the a reconstruction of how the temple must have looked. And when I lived over there, they were still digging out, especially that would have been the southern part of the former temple, which was out of sight for a long time, practically. So our Lord is in the temple, and he's leaving. And as he was going out, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, such stones and such buildings." They're awed by this beautiful building. And Jesus says, "Are you looking at these great buildings? There will not be a stone left upon a stone that will not be cast down." He's prophesying the total ruin of the temple, which is still there. What's there now is an Islamic recasting of the whole thing in honor of Allah and Moses, his prophet. Who's the great prophet of Islam? That's the one, Muhammad. So the text now, our Lord is going to be talking about that. He's saying, there will not be a stone left upon a stone. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, let's see, the temple is here, and then there's the valley, and then the Mount of Olives up rising on the other side. And from any place on that Mount of Olives, except the far side, of course, you can see what's left now, because it's been redone by the Muslims and because some of it's been dug up. Professor Mazar, a very famous archaeologist, dedicated his life to uncovering and restoring what he could of the temple. And so he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Peter, James, and John are the three our Lord has with him so many times. Raising of the daughter of Jairus, the agony in the garden. And here, Andrew is also mentioned, okay? And they ask him, tell us when these things will be, and what is the sign when all these things will be carried out or accomplished? And Jesus begins to tell them, see that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. There will be this time after our Lord rises from the dead and then goes to heaven, many false messiahs. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one. And our Lord is saying, be careful. Don't get fooled. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled. These things have to happen, but this is not yet the end. I want to point out something here that's very important. It has to do with the word eschaton. The word eschaton means last. So eschatology is the study of the last realities, temporal realities in the history of the world. The eschatological discourse, what we're studying right now, is eschatological. But there's something important that we have to bear in mind there. You see, it's that there can be many foreshadowings of this last moment when many of the factors that are going to make it are present. And this is not the eschatological moment, but it is the embodiment of all the factors that will make it up. I'll give you an example. The agony in the garden. First I'll give you the eschatological discourse. In chapter 13 in Mark, there's this discussion about the end. But it's an end, but not the end. But many of the characteristics of the end moment are present. And they are, as it were, a forecast, a harbinger of the end. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. In this discourse, you see, it says, our Lord says, be careful, and don't let anybody catch you sleeping. And then we have, in the agony in the garden, which is an eschatological moment, not a final moment, because we're still here, but the factors, the conflict between good and evil, the overcoming by Jesus, it's all there. And so, in the discourse in chapter 13, our Lord says, be careful. Don't let anybody come and find you sleeping. And what does it say in chapter 14? And he came and found them sleeping. In other words, this moment of incredible decisiveness. Jesus has just faced the worst of the temptations to forego the passion in the agony in the garden. And now he's going back and telling the disciples, be careful, because he came and found them sleeping, the very thing he told them not to let happen. Mark is careful to use those words because he wants us to show that this is an eschatological moment. It's a last moment, but it's not a chronologically last moment, as though there will be nothing beyond this. It's very important, and Mark is very careful. So he says, be careful lest he come and find you sleeping. And then in the agony in the garden, he says, and he came and found them sleeping. And therefore, this eschatological moment, which is not a last moment, but a moment when these forces of light and darkness are in conflict. And in this instance, as in all the others, Jesus conquers. This is one in which he conquers through pain, because he's there seeing what's going to happen to him, knowing how many people will never get it. He's going to pour out his blood, pray for them, forgive his persecutors and murderers, and looking forward and seeing how many people won't get it. And that's the suffering. That's the suffering, as our Lord has shared with many saints. And so, people don't get it. In a way, Saint Therese had some experience like this. At the end of her life, when she was being tempted to think it's all a joke. You know, they're going to take my body and throw it in a hole in the ground, and that's the end of it. She knew there was a temptation. And she was facing it for all the atheists who would come after her. I like to say she's the patron saint of atheists. Nothing. Meaningless. Get whatever pleasure, power you can out of life, but it's meaningless. That is an eschatological moment. And so that's what our Lord is saying here, you see. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled. As there are wars and rumors of wars surrounding us. As I'm giving these talks, which will be, you know, put up quite soon, we have the invasion of the Ukraine. We have the trouble in the Middle East, in Syria, in Afghanistan. These are anticipated realizations of the last moment. And they do try people. They try to force people to abandon God and fidelity to God and give themselves over to hatred and violence. So this is not just a discourse about the end of the world. It is. But it's also a discourse about, as I forgot to mention last time, about the factors that our Lord describes in this text. Okay? And so they ask him, when will these things be, and what is the sign when all these things will be accomplished? And Jesus began to tell them, see that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. How many messiahs? Karl Marx, Mao Zedong, Stalin, false messiahs, can only accomplish what they're doing by violence. Not so much violence to others, never violence to themselves. And yet, Jesus, in whom the eschatological moment is realized, dies as a result of violence. I think we've begun the text now. We'll stop and get ready.